It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
It's good to be with you. Welcome to a very special edition of the Bob Siegel Show. Now, I know when you hear the word special, whenever I'm watching Fox News, it's a special edition of Hannity. I know that means it's a repeat and they're going to play a lot of clips from old shows. No, we're here in the studio live. It really, truly is a special program because I'm joined by my special wife, Dana Siegel. A number of years ago, a few years back, she had a bout with breast cancer. She has completely recovered. She's been cancer-free for several years, but she was recently feeling God's leading to come and share her story because all kinds of fantastic interventions of God took place, all kinds of lessons learned. So I'm mostly going to turn it over to her. I'll be with her back and forth a little bit, but it's mostly her show tonight. Welcome back on the air, honey.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Yeah, and this came about because a few people challenged me about telling the story and sharing. And a couple of people have actually asked in the last month, have you written a book about this? Have you written? And I thought, no, I haven't. And I thought, well, the next best thing is putting it on the air on your show so that it can encourage people, but most importantly, show God's glory and how he carried me through that. And so I'm here. Jim Barrier was one of the last ones that challenged me.
Well, in fact, we went out to dinner with Jim Barrier and his wife when he was here a month ago, and they were the ones that challenged her. You know, remember Jim had come on and told his story of dealing with his heart attack. And so...
Yeah. So it was... Jim was one of the ones that prompted me to think, oh, yeah, maybe I should do this. So this is a first step on at least sharing just some of the amazing things that happened. So let me go back and give some background. This was 4 years ago in 2022. And in that spring of 2022, I was working with another woman on building an educational ministry. And she and I were putting together what would it look like to build something where kids could come and parents could be a part of it and really be a learning system. And as it was getting closer to becoming a reality, we both got cancer. And it's just a really interesting thing that in that season...
And you were
season,
viewing that as a spiritual warfare, trying to prevent you from doing your ministry.
We actually knew it was. We both knew instantly that it was not coincidence that she and I both were dealing with cancer. Now, she dealt with thyroid cancer. She had surgery. A while after that, she had to have the radioactive iodine where she couldn't be around anybody, even her young son, especially her young son, for a week and a half to two. It was an ordeal for sure. I don't know I have cancer yet. We go off to the healing retreat for women who have experienced abortion. It was late April. And before that, I had had my routine regular mammogram was scheduled for early in March. Our provider called and said, hey, don't have any techs in today. We have to cancel your appointment, which is super unusual. That has hardly ever happened. And when I went to call back and get a new appointment, it wasn't for several more weeks. And I thought, wow, I should have been a priority. Now looking back, I actually think that was...
Because you're thinking if you'd gone in that early, it would have been too early to detect it.
I think God was sovereign over the timing. I believe it is, because that hasn't ever happened before on anything. It was just so unusual. And so I believe that was the first intervention in this journey, was God saying, nope, not yet. They won't see anything yet. You got to wait a little bit longer. And so I go in for my routine mammogram. And then They want me to come back for an ultrasound because something looks funny. That's all that, you know, just look to divs. We don't know. We're not sure.
Something looks funny. We're not sure. Maybe in 6 to 8 months, we'll be able to look at it again.
Well, and I'm pretty sure they didn't say something looks funny. No. Those are my words. I'm sure they said something much more
technical. I was with you when they called. They said there was something that looks unusual and they didn't know what it was.
Yeah. So. But not to worry, blah, blah, blah. They were very like, and I didn't, I thought, okay, whatever. So I have to go do the ultrasound.
And I should say, Dana always has a very positive outlook on life. She really wasn't very worried during this time.
No, so. I wasn't. So we're going through that. And then after that, they did some biopsies. I'm still not thinking anything. I'm just thinking, okay, whatever. And we go off to retreat. And here's the next thing I think God did for me. Friday afternoon, I'm hauling boxes of supplies and materials for the retreat into our meeting hall, and I'm going back and forth across a patch of grass. There was a hole. I didn't see the hole, but there was a hole. I stepped and my ankle rolled a little bit, but nothing hurt. There was like, I've rolled my ankle before and instantly it's not okay. Nothing happened. I thought, oh, that's weird. I'll avoid that little spot again. And I continue to unload thinking nothing was wrong, it's totally fine. That night, when I was doing the teaching session, I'm standing up in front of the women and I'm teaching, my ankle started to hurt so much, I couldn't even bear weight. I was standing on my left leg for most of the second half of the talk, and one of my friends was sitting in the front row and said, I was literally watching your ankle swell right in front of me. And I hobble over. When my part's over, I'm hobbling over and I sit down, and I'm trying to be really cool. I'm trying to, like, this is how I always walk. So I'm trying to go sit down, and I'm feeling my ankle. It was just crazy how I went from no sensation of any problem to an extreme situation. And the session ends that night. My room was really close to the meeting hall. So I limp across to the room and I'm in my room thinking, okay, do I drive down to emergency right now? Do I call Bob to come get me? It was just so painful. And I'm elevating it. I know how to treat all these things. So I'm elevating, I'm studying for the next morning session when I have to teach again. And it was so painful. I could not fall asleep. And I knew I was not going to be good for tomorrow if I didn't get some sleep. And I thought, okay, Lord, it's too late for me to drive down the hill or do anything more tonight. I called you. You were praying for me. And at about 11:30, I still could not sleep because of the pain. And I just sat up and I put my hands on my ankle and I just prayed the most sincere prayer of God, please heal this. Take it away. I have to do this retreat. There's no one else that can do my part. And I want to be here for these women. And you can make this okay. So please heal me. And now help me get some sleep. I fell asleep. I woke up very early. I have to get up early for these things to get ready. I got up early, so I only had maybe 5 hours of sleep. I get up, I'm putting my foot on the floor, and there was zero pain. And I thought, I'm dreaming. This is crazy. And I take a couple of tentative steps, nothing. I have a nice bandage on it still from the night before just to support it. And I unwrap the ACE bandage. There's no swelling, nothing. It was
a miracle.
It was a miracle healing. And all weekend, I was still waiting for the shoe to drop, so to speak.
It's got to kick back in. I'm sure.
I kept thinking, oh my gosh, it was so, so painful. There's no way this is just gone now. I can tell you, the rest of that weekend, I never had any inkling that anything had happened previously. It was healed. It was over and done. I never went to any medical care. I wore the ACE bandage just a little bit more because I was just like, okay, I'll do something to support. I didn't even need that. I took that off by lunch. That was a big moment. So we get home from retreat. I'm just elated about that healing. Nothing like that had ever happened to me before. And then we're getting ready for the pilot at our educational ministry. We have some teachers that are coming in, some kids, homeschool families, and they're going to come in and we're going to just see, what does this look like if we were to run a ministry here and do that? And it was a month-long pilot. We're getting ready. And I get a call from our provider and I see it. So I step outside and I take the call and the nurse on the phone is telling me I have cancer.
Breast cancer.
Breast cancer, yes. And I remember my first words to her. I said, so what are you, she's telling me all these numbers. And finally I said, what are you telling me? Because I'm hearing all these numbers and what do you
Why
mean?
Why do they assume we all know
and
their codes when they
know.
Call?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure that part of her job is horrible. And so I said, well, what are you actually telling me? She said, you have cancer. And I said, I'm sure she thought it was crazy. I said, well, that's inconvenient because all I was thinking was, I can't do this right now. I've got this ministry to run and I'm busy and da da da. So it was shortly after that that we became very aware that Satan was attacking the both
now,
of us.
When Dana called me to give me the news, she starts it out by saying, I just heard from my doctor. First of all, I want you to know that I'm at peace. Now, the minute she
There's
said
your
that,
clue.
I knew what else she was going to say. Of course she's at peace.
Yeah. And I really was.
No,
I really was.
You.
And
it's just
and
when
I
you
said
that like that, yeah. I knew you were going to tell me you had
And
cancer.
I said to the nurse, I said, well, okay, well, great. What's the next step then? Like, this is going to be over in a week, right? Like, how does this go? I had no idea. And so she started telling me, well, you start with this, you'll see your surgeon, you'll meet an oncologist. So that night I called my best friend who was an ER nurse for years and now is the administrative nurse for a big hospital up in Washington. I said, okay, so this is what I know. This is what's happening. What's going on here? And she said, well, first of all, you're just going to have this whole team of people come around you. And she said, don't worry, they're going to walk you through everything. And she said, I have some questions for your surgeon. And she gave me, you know, like five questions. And one of them is like, has anybody died from
your care?
Yeah. I'm like, I can't ask her that. She's like, ask the
All
question.
All right, hold on. We'll get back to more of those questions she gave you for your doctor. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel, and I'm here sharing about my cancer journey that I had 4 years ago. And when we went to break, I was talking about questions my best friend, who's admin nurse, had me asking my surgeon. And my surgeon was actually really impressed that I was asking these questions. None of them offended her. And when I shared the answers back with my dear friend, she said, "Keep that surgeon. That's amazing. Most surgeons wouldn't say those kind of things." And, you know, she was just so humble. She only does a certain percentage of breast cancer surgeries because those surgeries are heavy as far as her emotional support for her patients and so on. And so she paces it so that not all the surgeries are like, from the first time we met her, we just loved her. She's been amazing. And then wrapping back to my ankle, I didn't realize it, but when I was telling Bob, so I have this cancer thing happening and whatever. And Bob right away said, "Well, God's already shown you He can heal you." And I had totally not correlated that the miraculous healing at the women's retreat on Friday night had just happened. And so I thought, right, that's right.
This was very common in the Bible. It was called typology. Sometimes God would give a short range answer to a prayer as a promise and guarantee that He's going to give a long range answer to a prayer later on. So we started interpreting her healing on the retreat that happened very quick with the fact that God was going to, and whether He was going to heal supernaturally this time or use the doctors. The point was there was going to be healing.
Yes. And as I retell that story now, I'm still very taken aback again, just personally, because I was there. I saw it. I know what happened. And I'm just amazed God did that for me. I think it's so cool. So we start into this journey, which I think is going to be no big deal. And we start out with the first surgery being scheduled. In the meantime, I'm meeting with my oncologist.
Your surgeon was the most positive, uplifting person in the world.
Yes.
The oncologist, not so much. We won't give out any names, but the best word I could use is, you read Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore.
Yeah.
"It's not going to be your life ever the same again." I mean,
it was real. Every question
could not
I had,
have picked a more down in the dumps person.
Well, you know what? In her defense, I think,
she probably,
if you do this,
she probably
all
wants
day
to.
Long.
She doesn't want to give people false hope. And I guess
yes,
I
but
understand
also,
that.
You're working with people with cancer.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's all, it's on
but she
her
was telling Dana,
line.
"When you go through chemo, you're going to lose all your hair. Yeah. It's going to be complete." And she's just...
Well, we'll get that.
Yeah.
That's down the road.
Coming up.
So we're going into the surgery. And so in the meantime, right before that surgery, my surgeon ordered an MRI. And so I had the MRI done, do all my pre-op, whatever, meet her and for my surgery day. And when we go into the operating room, there are two people from our church there. And it's just so cool to have people that are a part of your community. And the other thing that is cool, I know this is going to sound strange to listeners too, but you know, when you start getting the anesthesia and you're going into that twilight, I picture myself, there's a verse in Isaiah that talks about the train of the robe fills the temple with God's glory. And so every time when they'd say, "Okay, Dana, we're going to do this now," and you know, they take you in awake and then they put you under when you're in there. And I picture myself sitting in that massive train that's filling the temple, and I'm just sitting there in God's glory, and I'm looking up at Him on the throne, and that's how I go to sleep before surgeries. And it's like, don't wake me up. I just want to stay here. I love that picture. And that has always been such a comfort to me as I went into surgery. So I go in for the first surgery. Yay, lumpectomy. She gets it all. Margins are clear. Woohoo. And then we get the news. I'm thinking now I'm off to oncology, off to chemo, where I've already been doing radiation appointments, chemo to get ready. And then the news comes back. I have cancer in the right side now. And what's so interesting is I had two different kinds of invasive cancers, the two worst ones you can get, and different ones. And I said to my surgeon,
and it was just by chance that they ran the other MRI.
Yes, that wasn't even a normal thing. My surgeon is just so brilliant, and she did it as a precaution. So they find this other cancer. I go through the whole thing again, pre-op, they're setting markers, biopsies, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like all over again. Okay, great. And so, in the meantime, I'm supposed to be having my hip replaced, but that all got put on the back burner when this was happening. So like, I'm hobbling around. And so I go in for my second surgery. 5 weeks, you have to wait. You can't just keep doing surgery. So I had to wait, go in 5 weeks later. I have my second surgery. And my surgeon gets everything. She's like confident, everything's great. Well, then the pathology came back and the margins were not clear. So that required a third surgery. So again, I had to wait several weeks. And then I go in. So right now, chemo's being pushed back, radiation's being pushed back. And the one thing that was going through my mind in the process of all this was I want my kids to know that I did everything I could possibly do. And that if God still takes me home, okay, but that they won't have any resentment toward me that I didn't do every single thing that was medically possible. So for me, chemo wasn't a choice, radiation wasn't a choice, surgeries weren't a choice. It was just like, okay, I am trusting my medical team to give me the best advice. And I always had peace about that. So I never heard God say, don't do this, or that was a part of my decision-making. The other thing that was happening at the same time as this going on, I typically do not send out prayer requests. I send them to close friends. I'll send a prayer request to a close friend or a family member or something like that. But in general, I don't send out prayer requests. And God put on my heart very clearly that I was to notify this group of people he collected for me. It was more than 50 people, and they're from all different ministries I worked in and different places, that I was to let them know about this. It was partly for the prayer for me, for sure. It was prayer for me. But more importantly than that, I felt that God was saying, I want them to be a part of this victory too. Their prayers are going to result in my glory and your healing. And so, very uncharacteristic for me, I have this group text that I would send out the day before surgery, the day before a chemo treatment, and then when I started my radiation. And so over the months, I had this group of prayer warriors, and it gave me such strength knowing that they were there and they were praying for me. And I was then able to report out to them these unique things that God was doing in this journey, like, okay, in this surgery, you won't believe what happened, blah, blah, blah. And I could tell them. And so these people who I treasure went through this journey with me. And that part was really important. Also, I've never texted mass groups again after that. So it was only during these months of cancer that I did that. That was a very clear directive. So I go in for my third surgery. And again, same thing. I'm sitting in God's train. And my surgeon, she's like, I can't believe we're here again. And I said, well, in hindsight, I'm wondering if we had known all this, should I have just gone straight to mastectomy? I'm just wondering. And she said, if you have one more situation, she said, that's exactly what we're going to do. And I thought, okay. And God didn't take me there. So I'm just grateful for that. But 3 surgeries later, 3 months later, then I now have to wait and get ready for chemo. And the chemo then is a whole nother journey that we will go into.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to our program. I'm joined by my lovely wife, Dana Siegel, going through the bout, a bout that turned out successful, but she's going through the ups and the downs of her time with breast cancer.
And this next part that I'm going to share about is about cold capping. And I know most people, when I say that, if you know anybody who has gone through cancer treatment and has had to have chemo or anything like that, many people do lose their hair. And there's this thing called cold capping that basically, the commercial ones that you rent for a very large amount of money, you put on your head and it's circulating ice water through on your scalp while you are having chemo. The idea is you want to get the follicles kind of frozen, your hair follicles frozen, so the chemo chemicals cannot get into your hair follicles, because chemo goes after all those fast-growing cells, and your hair is a fast-growing cell, and so it goes after that. And so that's why people lose their hair. And I was assigned the 2 big chemo drugs to take. And
your oncologist categorically told you that would not work. You're going to lose your hair. You're going to lose all of your, and then we looked it up online, and apparently those things don't work very well.
They don't. And I had just, this again was not a random thing, right after I had been told I had cancer and was going to go through treatment, we were at a retirement party for our dear friends, and her cousin had just gone through chemo, and she told me, don't waste your time with the commercial things, they don't work. She said, I tried it, and so on. And to be fair, that's what my oncologist knew about, and they aren't super successful. But I was connected to a nurse who was on medical leave. She was fighting breast cancer as well.
You were connected to her through your surgeon, not your oncologist.
Yes, through my surgeon. She said, would you mind, if you're interested, I said, oh my gosh, would you have her call me? I would love to hear about that. This nurse, she was amazing. She had researched, she was younger, and it was important to her to not lose her hair. And she had researched.
She had like stage 4, didn't she?
Yes, she was battling stage 4 cancer, and just a neat Christian lady. And it gave me a chance to encourage her, because she was feeling not as uplifted as I was feeling. And so I was able to really walk alongside her and pray with her while she helped me with this process. And the process goes like this. So just bear with me on this. You have little earmuffs that go right on your ears that people can wear in cold, extreme weather. And they just hook right on your ears because you want to protect your ears from the cold. So you protect your ears. Then you put a protection over your forehead and just use like a, I had like stickers with adhesive that I would stick over that were padded. And so you protect your forehead because you don't want those areas to get frostbite. You want to make sure those areas are protected. Oh, and I had to get my hair cut. She said, get your hair cut shorter. So there's not a lot of length on it.
It was just a little bit shorter though. She didn't.
It was shorter. It cut, well, I cut it up to my shoulders. I mean, it was much shorter. And so then you put on a hair net to keep your hair all together. And then after the hair net, you put on a tight Lycra swim cap, because what you're trying to do is just press everything down. And I was used to swim caps from swim team and lifeguarding. And so I'm like, okay, back in the swim caps. And so you put a swim cap on and you anchor the swim cap with like a headband thing. So you've got all these layers on. Then you use what's called a gel cap, which is created for people that get migraines. I am certain they are helpful to people that have migraines. And they go into your freezer and they get the gel. It gets very firm and cold. It's not pliable. And so I had to have three of those to rotate them. So you put this gel cap on that's really, really
within
cold.
Dry ice. We're freezing it in dry ice.
Yes, yes. And so then the gel cap goes on and then you put another cap over that to keep that snug on you and to kind of insulate the gel cap from the temperature of the room so that it stays as cold as possible. So here's how you have to get that all cold though. The gel caps have to be in dry ice, which is colder than ice. And so it goes into dry ice and it needs to be in there to chill. So at the same time, I have mittens that are going on my hand that have inserts that go in that are also being put in the dry ice. And I have booties on my feet that have inserts to keep those extremities cold. That is to protect you from getting numbness in those joints, you know, those thin areas of your body. You can, you know, people that have gone through chemo can have neuropathy in their toes or fingers afterwards. So here I am. I've got my freezing gel cap on my head, freezing mittens on my hands, and then freezing booties on to try to keep the chemo drug from going to where it could cause harm to the rest of me. And so the process for that is we would go to the grocery store the night before and get 65 pounds of dry ice, get it in a cooler and bring it home. And then it would be ready for us to do what we needed to do the next day. And I know this sounds like a big deal, and it really was. And I could not have done this process without Bob. He was my gel cap coach, and you have to change all of this every 16 minutes.
So I was sitting next to her, and every 16 minutes, we take the one off of her cap and put it at the bottom of the ice chest so that it starts getting cold. Take the one that's next on top. And it was, what, usually 2-3 hours of this, right?
Oh, no. I wish it that's all it was.
Well, I think it was less hours each. I think it was a lot of hours the first time and a little less the subsequent.
Yes, it was. Well, and the first time you do chemo, they go slow. They put the chemo drug into you slowly because they want to make sure you can tolerate it. I don't know what the reactions might be. But the first time was 5.5 hours between, and they don't do the two drugs at the same time. You have to do one, finish it, and then wait, and then they start the second chemo drug. And so between those two, it was a 5.5 hour process as they were slowly putting it in me to make sure I was okay. And they're coming in and taking my vitals and checking, you know, they're watching me the whole time. Bob is faithfully changing these gel caps and inserts for me every 16 minutes. And we had to start at home. So the first gel cap,
we before we get in the car and start driving to the hospital.
So I'm driving to the hospital. I look like a Eskimo driving to the hospital. And
it's not very comfortable having all
no,
that dry ice.
No, and I always dreaded that first one because it's, you know, imagine putting like an ice pack right on your skin.
Well, I was hoping it didn't feel like one of those slurpy brain freezes. That's what I was concerned about.
It didn't feel.
Apparently, it wasn't that bad.
No. Well, it wasn't
inside.
But
it wasn't comfortable either.
It was not comfortable. And I thought, okay, this first one's going to be the hardest. It's more like when you've been out playing in the snow for a really long time and you're having so much fun, you don't want to go in it and your fingers are just, they're stinging and they're numb and they're.
Except imagine your head stinging.
Yeah, except my head was. Yeah. So we would start it at home. change it again in the parking lot of the hospital because
it
had been 16
minutes. And then
continue
changing it on our way back home, too, and because it had to be on a few hours after the chemo injections.
We discovered the Wendy's was halfway to
Wendy's parking lot. We'd stop and
get in the trunk and get my head and everything all changed. And I had to keep doing the cap for 3 to 4 hours after the chemo drug to make sure that it's getting out of my system and not getting to my scalp. So it's a very involved process. I did it the first 2 times, and chemo, like mine was a 3-week span. I'd do one treatment and then wait 3 weeks and then go back again. And by the third one, I just was over it and I didn't want to do it again. And I thought, I don't care if I lose my hair. I don't want to do this again. And I just thought, I'm fine. I'm whatever. Well, Bob was so wise. And all he said to me was, well, I'll still go get the dry ice in case you change your mind in the morning.
And I assured her that as her husband, it was fine with me if she lost her hair. But I knew this was something she wanted to do. But she was just reaching that point where she wasn't sure if she had the perseverance left to continue.
Why would I want to hurt myself on purpose?
So anyway. I was like, it's okay if you don't want to do it. But in case you change your mind in the morning, I'll just go get the dry ice and it'll be here. And then you can decide and we'll do whatever you want
to do. Yeah. And that's all I needed was just for you to say, hey, it's an option still. And I love that Bob didn't say, well, it's here, you have to. No, he just was like, if you want to, here it is. And that, of course, made it so like, okay, this is dumb. And dry ice is not cheap. So
it's fun going to the store and getting it too. Sometimes the person's really helpful and the other person's, dry ice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Wait a minute. Hold on.
And they have to weigh each chunk individually
and
to price
that's assuming
it.
They even have it. We prayed that
they would
always
have it.
Because if the night before they didn't have it, we wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah, because if somebody else had come in to get their dry ice. Yeah. So anyway, Bob really helped me through that third time. And then, of course, I did it easily on the fourth time. Well, easily, that's a loose word. But I did it without hesitation because, hey, I'd gone that far. What was so fun was seeing my oncologist's reaction after the third chemo round.
She was the one that said you were going to. She just about fell out of her chair.
And she usually was kind of reserved and quiet, didn't really talk to me. And then I come in and I did thin hair. My hair thinned out for sure.
A little bit, but it was on the top and that was where the cap didn't quite
touch
down.
My
and
scalp.
And you had so much other hair. The way she combed her hair, nobody could tell.
I could style nobody it. Could tell I could put it that. Up. Nobody would ever know I was in chemo treatments with chemo drugs that were taking hair
She
out.
Lost very little and she was able to cover up. And then, of course, what she lost, she grew back. It's all
bad. And so when we went in that third time, boy, my oncologist stopped. Like she sat down on her stool, wheeled right over to where I was sitting and said, tell me what
you did. Well, that
had
to be positive for her. Now she could give some better news. Okay, we'll be right back.
Reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, The book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Bob Siegel and Dana Siegel. Dana's sharing the story of her successful recovery from cancer.
And I literally could not have done it without Bob. Ice Chest weighs 65 pounds. No, it's more than that. It was, 65 pounds and the Ice Chest. 65 pounds of dry ice. It's heavy. And I've all the gear and I've got all this stuff to get through. And so I couldn't have done it without either his willingness to get up every 16 minutes and change and help me and hand me things. And I am just so grateful for that. And for that third time getting me over the hurdle, I just needed a little bit of support to get past that. And I appreciate that. Here are the miracle parts about the chemo portion of this story. The two drugs I was on, not only should it have taken all of my hair, but it also should have caused great nauseousness, being sick, weight loss.
Which your oncologist also assured you yes. were going to get, which you did not get.
I know. I can tell you.
Folks, we've learned, don't listen to down and out stories. Never listen to worst case scenarios.
Yeah.
I made that observation years
ago.
Just
trust God.
Yeah.
I never once got nauseous the entire time through surgeries, through chemo, through radiation, which doesn't usually cause that. But I went through the chemo with no nauseousness, which was shocking to everyone. Here's the part I think is shocking, and this is the little thing that I love that I feel like God did just for me. They weigh you coming and going at everything that's happening in this journey. Every single time I weighed in within a pound of the same weight for the entire 10-month journey. And I just find that astounding because, you know, I've battled my weight my whole life, been on diets, tried things, done things, and I quit worrying about food in this season because, like, food took a second. That was back row compared to what I was dealing with. And God just maintained my weight and he kept me from being sick. I did get very tired. I will say that. The chemo did wipe me out. And for the first week after treatment, I was extra tired. And I was not able to go in and help with the ministry very easily. But second and third week, I was back in the ministry helping and doing as much as I could. Sometimes I'd have a shorter day if I was feeling extra tired. But fatigue did get me. But considering what I went through, if fatigue is all I had, that is not a problem. And God really did sustain me through that. At the end of that, then you have to wait a period again before radiation starts. And radiation started, and that's a month long every day for 4 weeks. And that was getting to be a little bit of the trickiest part because with surgeries and with chemo, they're happening not as often. So you kind of can get away from the fact that you're dealing with cancer and stuff. But with radiation, you're going there every single day. You're reminded every day that you are battling cancer. And so that started to get harder for me toward the end of the 4 weeks because I was just getting tired of and it was right in the middle of the day. It was during the lunch break. I'd run and get my radiation and then come back. And that part I did get a little weary of toward the end.
The experience itself wasn't as bad as the chemo, but it just went on forever. Another reason. It was
yes.
Just very
and arduous. There was one time when the big machine they put you in for the radiation was down, the big one I usually went to. And so they said, oh, you can't do it today. And I'm thinking, oh, good, I get to skip it. I'm thinking, yay. And I said, okay, so does that just mean like I skipped this one? And then they said, no, we'll schedule another one on the end of your month. And I said, no, I can't do that. And they said, our other machine is already booked. She said, if you want to sit here, I can't promise when, but if you want to sit here and we'll work you in when we can. And I said, I am scheduled to be done on February 14th. And I am going to be done on February 14th.
You wanted to have a real happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's. And so I stayed that day. It took them about an hour and a half, but they got me in. I had my treatment and I did finish, and I rang the bell on February 14th and had finished radiation. So the whole journey was 10 months and it was still a good year to two before I got my full energy back and strength. Like, we were having baby grandchildren being born, and during chemo, I wasn't super confident in like walking around holding a child. So I'd just have them bring the little one to me and I'd be sitting and hold the new grandbabies. So there were a few limitations that I did experience. But when we asked my oncologist, I remember asking her, I've gone through everything now and I'm like, okay, so when will I be able to kind of have my energy back and whatever? What was her answer to me, Bob?
Her answer was, you never will. And that didn't surprise us at all.
And so that was like, what? And we walked out of there. And as we were walking out in the parking lot, Bob turned to me. He said, do not receive that. That is not of God. And I said, good, because I'm not receiving that. And I'm going to show her. And it was months. It was a long time. But as of probably the 2-year mark, I truly do have all of my strength back, all of my energy back. I'm busier than ever. And I have fully recovered, even though my oncologist, and she's always surprised when she sees me. She asks, well, are you still doing that? Still doing? I don't think she believes I'm doing everything I'm doing. But I credit all of that to God. God took me through this journey. I met so many people along the way, both in the medical field and outside, that I was able to minister to. And I think the thing that God taught me was that He is there with me through the whole thing. I had complete peace that God was walking through this journey with me. I was not alone, so I didn't have to be afraid of anything. And it also taught me it's okay to ask for prayer. God made me step out in faith and say, okay, be vulnerable, share with other people. And I'm really grateful that I did that. And all those people got to be a part of the victory in this journey with me. So I'm grateful. What did you do?
This is going to sound rather obvious, but you learn not to take things for granted. Dana and I have a very happy marriage. I could not ask for a more wonderful wife. But we're human beings, and like all couples, we'll get into little spats, and we each have our little idiosyncrasies that annoy the other one. But these last few years, when I'd find myself being annoyed by something, I'd say, you know what? If anything ever happened to her, or if I had lost her due to the cancer, I would have begged God to send me back through time.
Yeah.
And so I could have the experience of being annoyed by that idiosyncrasy again. So it really helps you put things in perspective. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.